Wonder at this time, before we go any further in the service, if anybody has anything on their hearts that they just feel like the Lord's compelling them to do. If not, then we're going to go into that, which the Lord's laid on our hearts. Brother Andy, if you don't mind, can you take that clock down for me? The last several weeks, that's just been a hindrance to me. And I don't want to be a hindrance to the church, but I certainly don't want to stand in the way of the Lord. And thank you, Brother Andy, for doing that. Got your Bibles and you'd like to turn with us. I'm going to go into the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to start off there in the 33rd chapter. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1 through 11. And if the Lord leads us to go further, then we'll go further. It says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. And took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, when thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And the Lord gave us this thought last night. I was struggling this whole week. You know, I was studying the Bible. I was reading here and there. And I was struggling because I just didn't feel like I had a thought for this morning. And yesterday, whenever we got home from work, this is what the Lord gave us. And the thought that I've got for this morning is sound the trumpet. Sound the trumpet. So in your reading, we read here in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, we find that the Lord wanted to set a watchman over the people of Israel. And that watchman, his duty was to warn the people about the dangers that are coming. Church, let me tell you this morning, we need to hold the duty of watchman. You see, the Bible tells us here in your reading that it says in the third verse, of when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blown the trumpet and warned the people. Now, we read about the destruction that was coming. And you see, I believe this morning, and not only do I believe this morning, but I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus is coming back. Amen? Okay. Now we read and we are seeing these things come to pass. And I believe that the coming of Jesus is nigh. It scares me a little bit. Not for my soul. I know that I've been saved by the grace of God. And I love singing the songs of heaven. And I love the Sunday school lesson that we've been having over heaven. But let me tell you, sometimes when I think about it, I just weep because of the ones that are in their lost and dying condition. Folks, it's time that we sound the trumpet as God's people. We are seeing destruction coming. A couple weeks ago, we talked about perilous times, that perilous times are coming. Perilous times are here. Folks, we need to sound the trumpet. The people who are lost and separated from God, they need to get ready. If you're lost and separated from God, you need to be ready. For the coming of the Lord is nigh and it's at hand. We read in the 107th chapter or division of the book of Psalms about how it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Now, preacher, how do we sound that trumpet? Brothers and sisters, say so. Testify the goodness of God. Tell the world what God has done for our souls. You see, I believe in Romans 10 and 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Folks, if you've been saved by the grace of God, don't we have something that we should confess about? That this world ought to confess to the world, and the world ought to know and be able to see a difference in God's people. We are to be that light that sits upon a hill and cannot be hid. You know, I think about the lighthouse from time to time. And I know I've used this analogy a time or two about how when we went down to Tybee Island, Georgia, a couple years ago for a family vacation, that down in Tybee Island there was the original lighthouse. And you see back then, they didn't have LED light bulbs. You know, that blew my mind. That's all I've ever known was light bulbs. But you see, they had oil lamps. You know, the lighthouse keeper had a job. See, the oil lamp was not to just keep it filled with oil, keep the light burning. And I tell you what, folks, our light needs to be burning still. But you see, sometimes the oil would cause the windows to get a little dirty, to get a little greasy. And you know, if he didn't clean those windows, that light would be dim. You see, the whole reason for the lighthouse was to warn the captain of the ship that he was approaching land. And I believe the lady that gave us a tour of that lighthouse said that if the windows were cleaned properly, that the light could stretch out to about 10 or 15 miles. Oh, a light stretching out for 10 or 15 miles, about how bright it is. Folks, how bright is our light this morning? You know, and I think about that from time to time, about how he had to go up and clean those windows. Folks, maybe our windows are getting a little bit dirty this morning.
we're allowing the things of the world to just come into our lives, and we're spending more time with the world, and not enough time with God, not enough time with His Word, not enough time talking to. You see, let me tell you what, folks, I believe that it's good to have a little talk with Jesus, but I think it's even better to not only talk with Him, but have a little walk with Jesus.
Oh, preacher,
what do you mean have a little walk with Jesus? The disciples were able to. Well, that's only because Jesus was in person. You see, we can still have a little walk with Jesus this morning. You know,
He said that I won't leave you comfortless.
I'll send unto you a comforter, which is His Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, ain't you glad that He left that behind? Oh, ain't you glad that that Spirit still comes and meets on the scene from time to time? Folks, let me tell you, we don't just need to just talk with Jesus, but we need to walk with Jesus this morning. We need to get rid of the things that might be bothering us. You see, that clock's been bothering me. You know, and I wish that there could be a way that for Sunday school we could all just look at our watch and figure out what time it is. Because that clock just been bothering me. Folks, let me tell you, when we're in the house of God, we don't need to worry about man's time. We're on God's time. Whenever He says service is over, guess what? Service is over. Oh, but whenever He tells us to move, folks, we need to move. We need to sound the trumpet. We need to give a warning call for the people out here that's lost and in their sins and dying. It didn't go into a devil's hell. We need to sound that trumpet, folks. We need to be that light. You see, Ezekiel right here, he was talking about, but if the watchmen see the sword come, talking about destruction. Folks, destruction's coming. I'm here to tell you, destruction's coming. And blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Folks, this job that we have as the church of the living God, it's something that we need to take serious. This ain't no play game. This ain't no little game that we can come up and act like everything's okay. Folks, let me tell you, there's people dying and going to a devil's hell. There is. We read in Isaiah, hell enlarges herself daily. Folks, if that's not going to get you to blow your trumpet, I don't know what will. If that's not going to get you to be a little worried, I don't know what will. Folks, let me tell you, I've got lost loved ones in my family, and I know you do too. How many, some of you have made prayer requests over and over about them. I know that there's a care for them, but folks, if we really care for our loved ones and love them like we said we did, we tell them about Jesus. We blow that trumpet. We say so as the redeemed of the Lord. Folks, I'm not going to ask if you love the Lord, but I'm going to ask, do you love lost souls? Do you love lost people? Because folks, if you do, there ought to be a desire down here. Folks, we read in Jeremiah, and I understand that the world that we live in, it's a little discouraging. I understand that. Satan beats us up from every single day. And I understand that. I've been put through the ringer a time or two myself. But let me tell you, There's been some times that I just wanted to give up preaching. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's been times that whenever we'd get out of church, you know, I remember my first pastorate there at Hope in Tennessee. After about 7 months of pastoring that church, I threw my Bible in the car and I said, "Lord, that's it. I'm not going to preach another sermon. I'm not going to pastor another church. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to go to church again. Next Sunday, I'll just go up to the people and hand them the keys." And that's it. Foolish was I to think that. I was discouraged. Satan had beat me up, Brother Scott. That next Sunday, I got there before everybody else did, on accident. And the Lord told me, me and him needed to have a little talk. You see, I'm not just saying to have a little talk with God and you make it to where it's like, "Oh, I have to pray." But folks, we complain about how we don't have enough time to pray and that we don't have enough time to read the Bible. Let me tell you, if you love to pray and you love to read the Bible, you would make time for it. If you love God, you'd make time for Him. And you see, and it's not just a good thing to pray, but it's a good thing to pray and get your heart where it needs to be. And you can just feel like you're just in the courtroom there of heaven. And I remember praying there and I said, "Lord, I've done everything that I thought I could do. Nobody's listening to me. That's it. I'm just quitting. I'm not doing this. I'm handing it all back to you." And the Lord said, "Well, you should have done that in the first place." Folks, sometimes we try to play God. Did you know that? We try to do the things that we want God to do. But all we can do is our small part. And you might think that's testifying and seeing or praying or whatever, you might think that doing that is just this big old part. Because let me tell you, there comes a whole lot of self-denial in that. But let me tell you, it's just a little part. God takes care of the big things. All we have to do is just sound that trumpet. Oh, how easy that might sound. But folks, there's some self-denial that has to happen. To a point where, "Lord, I don't care what people might think about me. I don't care if they think I'm just some crazy lunatic over here. Lord, if it's what you want me to do, let your will be done." And that ought to be the attitude of God's people. I'm just being honest with you, folks. But you know, Jeremiah there, he witnessed the same thing. You know, Jesus went through the same things we did, but I like reading of the prophets of old, knowing that they went through the same things we did. Jeremiah there, he was prophesying before the people of Jerusalem, and Jeremiah got a little discouraged in himself. And he said, "I'm not going to speak of the Lord. I'm not going to make another mention of His name." But he said, "There was a fire burning in my bones." Folks, let me tell you, there needs to be a fire burning within us. There needs to be a fire within our bones. There needs to be a little excitement to tell people about Jesus. There needs to be some excitement about it. Because let me tell you, it's something to get excited about. It's something to get joyfully over about. I don't care if you might say, "Now, Brother Barber, when I testify, nobody can understand me because I'm just crying." Well, cry away. Let God get the honor and glory out of it. Something to be excited about, folks. You know, we sing that song, "I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hands." Well, Scott, I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about it. You know, next thing I know, I might go into work Tuesday, and the owner of that shop say, "Get your clippers and get out." I'll be jealous. I don't know what tomorrow might bring. We might go home, wake up, and our landlord say, "Get out of the house." else. I don't know about tomorrow. But he's saying, I know who's with me every step of the way. And whatever happens, I have something that nobody in this life can take away from me. And that's something for me to be excited about. No matter what comes my way, I've got a better place to go. You know, we were talking about life in the parking lot. We're not really living this life. This body's dying, it's decaying. But you know, my uncle who passed away the day before Thanksgiving, I don't know what day that is, November 2019, let me tell you, he just started living. He just started living. You know, at his funeral, I really wasn't real too sad at his funeral or my sister's funeral. I'm just going to be honest with you, because it was, I'll see you later. Now, I'm not saying that depression and all the loneliness and knowing that they're gone, I'm not saying that goes away. But folks, it's better knowing you'll see them once again. Once again. Oh, Sister Mildred, I remember growing up, she was a dear prayer warrior there at Pleasant Grove Church. Let me tell you what, church, there needs to be some prayer warriors among us. But you know, she was a good prayer warrior. Her dad, her husband, Brother Jimmy Cox, he was a good man of God, preached for about 50 years in this life, died. And I remember at the funeral when I went there, she wasn't sad. She was just shouting, man, you couldn't get that woman to hush. She was just shouting the praises of God because she knew where he was going. And she knew that he didn't die. He was just starting to live. Folks, let me tell you, that's something to be excited about. Let me tell you, I know we done a terrible job. I done a terrible job singing that song. You know, I only heard the chorus, you know, that song. But the next time he comes, but let me tell you, that song that gets me excited is that he's coming again. Oh, but this next time, he's not going to have to die. He's not going to have to bear a cross. This next time, there won't be a Calvary. But this next time, he'll be taking me with him. That's something to get excited about, folks. And when I think about that, there's a fire that just burns in my bones. Folks, there needs to be a fire burning within us as God's people. Sound that trumpet. Make it known to the people that the sword's coming. Destruction's coming. Oh, oh, but there is victory awaiting. There's rest that's awaiting. What we read in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6 and 16. How it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Destruction's coming. Oh, but let me tell you, God's still in the saving business. People can still find rest for their souls today, folks. Says in verse 17, also I set watchmen. There's that phrase again, watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Folks, sound the trumpet. Don't wait for destruction to come until you're ready to sound it. Folks, let me tell you, I remember when I was lost and separated from God, when God convicted me, you know, I found pain and sorrow. I found the death, you know, death became real to me. But you know, God showed me that if I died in my condition, I would wake up in a devil's hell. And that scared me, folks. Does it still scare you today that there's people in that same condition? Does it scare us today? There's a song I was thinking of. Let me tell you, we're in a fight.
We're at a battle. Not against flesh and blood, but Bible says in Ephesians, as the gifts, the powers, the principalities, and the rulers of darkness. It's a fight. Oh, but there's a song that says, I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in the war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I'll take this gospel trumpet and I'll begin to blow. And Lord, if you will help me, I'll blow it wherever I go. How important our job is as God's people. And I could point out many different things and scenarios about how death, how the sword and destruction's coming. But you know, when we take that trumpet and we blow, people might want to shut us up. But you know, I'm reminded there in the book of Luke about a man who was by the way and was blind. His name was Bartimaeus. And he started shouting, by the way, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And it says, and they which went before rebuked him, wanting him to stop. But he says that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more. He cried louder. Folks, and I know that we can, I know that we use that in a phrase for lost souls, that you need to cry out to God. But folks, let me tell you, this world, they might try to get us to shut up. But folks, we need to cry out. We need to cry out. Let the redeemed say so. Folks, let me tell you, are you just comfortable in that spiritual lazy boy recliner on Sunday mornings? Are you just content? When Sister Rachel sings about two or three songs, then turns it over to the preacher, and that's it. Are you content with that? I'm not. Folks, let me tell you, my Father's house is a house of prayer. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees there. My Father's house is a house of prayer. You know, we hear these messages going out to God's people about being serious. And folks, I'm not trying to say this just to get you upset at me or to get you to be infuriated. But folks, let me tell you, here lately, I've been hearing a bunch of messages about how we need to be serious. But folks, let me tell you, there's no action in behind it. Folks, let me tell you, we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't wait. Don't wait till death is on your door till you finally get excited about the Lord. Don't wait till you're on the deathbed and you're finally wanting to get excited enough about the Lord that you're hoping your family members might see something. Folks, God's given us this present time. We need to use every bit of it for His honor and glory. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, and I often think, Lord, why couldn't I have been born in the 70s or in the 80s? I honestly feel like I would have done good in the 1800s and everything was just land. But you know, God has put us here in this present time, and He equips us with the tools that's needed and necessary to reach people in the present day and age, but God's people need to be willing to take it. So maybe we might need to stop wallowing around, saying, Lord, perilous times are here. I don't know how much longer it's going to be. Lord, destruction's at hand. I don't know how much longer it's going to be. Maybe we need to stop wallowing around in self-pity and get our hearts and minds right where God can use us and sound that trumpet as loud as we can. That God, that light there in the lighthouse, it stretched for, they said it could stretch for about 15 or 20 miles. I can tell you, the light of Jesus, when we get ourselves right and in order and get our windows all cleaned up, get that fire burning within our lamp, the light of Jesus can shine further than that. And I'll leave you with that this morning, folks, as my thoughts have left me. Actually, no, I won't. The Lord give me. You see, I was actually reading over the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel there. I was reading, I don't know about y'all, but I've got several different translations sitting in my library, the NASB, the ESV, and the Amplified Bible, and I like using the Amplified from time to time, but I was reading the Amplified version of this, and in parentheses, somewhere in the verse, it says that they, and I think it was in verse 11, but it says that they have missed the mark. Folks, there's people out there that's missing the mark. There's people who I truly believe are looking for something, but they're missing the mark. They're looking for something that's truthful, looking for something that's real, and yet they're missing the mark. Because these people in this world that practice different than what the Bible teaches, they're a whole lot louder than what God's people are. They're making more noise than what God's people are. And I'm not saying that we need to go out here and stir up trouble. But folks, people need to know about our God. I'll read this and I'll shut up, I promise you. And some of y'all are probably shaking your head saying, no, that won't happen. But I'll read this and then I'll be done. But we read in 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter about how Peter was talking and he was writing to the church and he said in these days that there in the last days that there will be scoffers walking after their own lusts. And I was wondering, what in the world is a scoffer? And so I began to look it up and it meant mocker. And so I was like, well, I want to go a little deeper than a mocker. I'm not satisfied with that. And in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it means counterfeit. Folks, there's a lot of counterfeit salvation out there. And there's a lot of people buying into counterfeit salvation. But where is God's people? Jesus said that there's two roads. There's a straight and narrow road, and many there be that find it. And of course, that word straight, it's spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, meaning hard. Hard and narrow road. And that could probably be another sermon for another time. But then there is a broad road that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein and find it. And there's people walking that way. But yet, and we're seeing them walking into destruction. But yet, nobody cares enough to sound the trumpet. I'm just being honest with you, folks. If we really cared about getting ourselves in a spot where God would all be on our knees right now. Lord, help us. We talk about this altar. And it's not just good for lost people to come seek it.
even though this has no power of salvation about it. It's a good place to start, though. But it's a good place for us as the church to start seeing it. 2 Chronicles 15:15, Solomon was telling the people there that we need to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. Seek Him. Find Him. You might be in a place where you might be cold and indifferent, or you might be like David and say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But whatever it is, go to God, get your heart right with Him, have Him to just fill that oil lamp up, to get that fire going within you, to get excited about Him. And folks, let's get to work. And I'm going to end with that. And I hope and pray somebody got something out of that. Church, this altar is open. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song.